I think this question is actually a good compromise made by the French Prime Minister, because both terms, full sovereignty and independence, were actually key to both the pro-independence people and the loyalist people. The pro-independence people, they really wanted the word full sovereignty to be part of the question, because they actually don't advocate for a strong break with France. They want an independence, but with a partnership with France. And so the word independence is actually a bit scary for them. And actually, paradoxically, on the other side, like the people who wanted to step out of France, the loyalists, they really wanted the question to have the word independence. So like it would have scared people to vote for independence.
It was a compromise, but it was the final question was settled after apparently 16 hours of debate, nearly midnight Paris time. Do you think that this kind of dispute will set the stage for what the next 7 or so months will be like between these pro and anti-independence parties?
Yeah, this is a very good point. The main issue throughout the entire process is that there wasn't actually a common ground between both camps. And that's what people are worried now, is that nobody really knows what the post-referendum will look like. And in a way, this is actually a bit disappointing for the Nouméa Accord. All this process started with the Nouméa Accord, well, the Matignon Accord in 1988 and then the signing of the Nouméa Accord in 1998. And the goal of this Nouméa Accord was actually to create a kind of community linked by the same destiny, right? And after the US Accord was supposed to prepare all this community to go to the referendum. But now we actually realize that, both communities haven't really spoken together. They're, like, despite the fact that they've been working groups to try to prepare the post-referendum, there's actually nothing that has really been done, and there's still like a big break between these two communities.
And so that's the high-profile leaders of the anti- and pro-independence camps that haven't necessarily been meeting. But what about the rest of the territory? There has been 20 years to prepare for this inevitable date. Do you think the rest of the territory is ready for this referendum?
I think the territory now is more stable than it was 30 years ago, definitely. The accord brought peace on the country, they brought better institution, democratic institution. The Kanak identity has been recognized to the point that now, like, the Kanak identity, or like the New Caledonian identity, is very particular within the French constitution, which is, at the end of the day, something that is very remarkable, let's say, because the French constitution says that all territories are like one, they're all part of France, and but there's a little exception for New Caledonia and the New Caledonian people. And the economic situation of New Caledonia is much better than it was 30 years ago. So overall, the situation is more stable, let's say. There are still some work to do and some instabilities on the economical point, on the political point. And I think that's going to actually be super interesting to see what's going to happen in the months leading the referendum.
Broadening across the Pacific, PNG's autonomous region of Bougainville will vote on its independence in 2019. Do you think that the rest of the Pacific will be watching to see what happens here in New Caledonia?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, well, starting from Australia to other countries, we're going to look at what's going to happen, in the sense that Australia doesn't really want to have a new, let's say, unstable country on its doorstep. So everybody's going to actually look at how the process is going. But if we want to make the comparison between a referendum in New Caledonia and the one happening in Bougainville, I think it's complicated, because France really supports the referendum in New Caledonia, whereas Papua New Guinea doesn't really. I mean, for now, we don't see that much of support from the government of Papua New Guinea to the referendum in Bougainville. There are, like, many conditions that have apparently not been agreed on, like the taking of the weapons of the islands, for instance, seems to be an argument that Peter O'Neill used to mention the fact that they might not actually do the referendum in due place and in due time. So I think most of the Pacific looks at New Caledonia as maybe a good example for a referendum, but I don't think that we can still compare it with the referendum that will happen in Papua New Guinea.